Now we're going to have to talk about a Twilio, guys, that was supposed to be during lunch and interrupting with your chewing and eating. And it's much easier that they now have to do it here. And you can take the bigger stage and take a longer time, but not too long.
Okay.
And we're going to hear about what WebRTC is about and how easier to use it than what we saw before if you use a library and if you use an SDK. There were also questions about the Surface Book and the Lumia XL. Everyone who automatically entered when you checked in, and we announced the winner at 6:30, so they can claim the devices on site, or if they're not on site, it's going to get given to me so I can bring it back to England. Now, if you're not on site, the registered email address, we will contact the people who've won it, and they can then get it and pick it up or get it sent to them. I'm not quite sure about this. In any case, it's good to be here at 6:30. It also means that it's early. Afterwards, we're going to have the party here with the Smashing Magazine people or Smashing Conference people. It's going to be fun. But now, the man in red will tell you about Twilio.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the introduction. Hi, my name is Mark. I'm a software engineer at Twilio. And today I want to talk to you all about enabling voice applications with WebRTC and ORTC in Microsoft Edge. So we've heard a little bit about WebRTC today. WebRTC is a technology currently implemented in Chrome and Firefox that allows these two browsers to send and receive audio and video in real time. That's how WebRTC gets its name, RTC. This enables real-time communications. And it's a critical component when you're deploying a voice application to your users. At Twilio, we use WebRTC not only to target Chrome and Firefox, but also to reach browsers that don't yet support WebRTC, like Safari, or browsers that support ORTC, like Edge. And when you're deploying voice applications to your users, you don't want to just think about browsers. You want to think about mobile platforms as well, like iOS and Android. And you may even want to connect users of your voice application to the publicly switched telephone network, PSTN. If you haven't heard this acronym, this is like your landline if you have one, or more likely your cell phone. So let's make this concrete. By voice application, I mean applications like Salesforce. Salesforce allows sales representatives to actually make outgoing calls to sales leads from within their application. And that entire voice interaction is tracked within Salesforce. When they make this call, they can get a recording, they can even get a transcription of it, and have, you know, the entire experience recorded in Salesforce. So they don't have to reach for their cell phone, they're doing this from within the app. Similarly, companies like LiveOps and Zendesk are providing customer service platforms where if email is just not enough when a customer has an issue, they can actually call in, and a customer sales representative can accept an incoming phone call in the browser and help solve that customer's issue. And similarly, companies like Wix. Wix is a DIY web hosting and web design company. If you're having an issue using Wix's product, you can connect with a Wix agent and actually get help when you need it. So why am I here at the Microsoft Edge Web Summit today representing Twilio? It's because we're really excited about what Edge is bringing to the real-time communication space. At Twilio, we ship a voice SDK for enabling voice applications like the one you saw. And so naturally, we lean on a lot of the functionality that the browser provides us. If you think about any voice application, there's really four basic tasks that they need to perform. The first is you need to capture audio from the microphone. Then you need to take that audio and you need to send it out to a remote endpoint. Now that could be another browser, it could be a mobile app, it could be a, you know, media server or one of those robots that's asking you to enter your PIN or whatever. And simultaneously, you need to receive audio. And once you receive that audio, you need to play that back. So those are the four basic tasks of any voice application. And in order to really appreciate what Edge is bringing to the table, let's just review how this used to be done, at least in the browser. There was Flash. And many of us are web developers here. I don't need to expound too much on what it's like to develop for Flash. The virtue of Flash is that you can reach a lot of platforms quickly. It's a plugin. It's a plugin that supports Safari, Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, but it's not a first-class citizen in these browsers. And if you've developed for Flash, you know you need to host your JavaScript, you need to host your SWF file, you need to negotiate the barrier between those two things. And more so, there's environments where you couldn't even deploy a voice application if it relied on Flash. You wouldn't be able to install it. It would be a security violation. My company laptop gives me a lot of grief whenever I want to run Flash. It actually blocks it by default. So Flash lets you reach a lot of browsers quickly, but it definitely has its drawbacks. Thankfully, this technology, WebRTC, was announced. We mentioned it earlier, but let's dig in a little deeper. WebRTC is a specification for enabling real-time communications on the web. And if you read this spec, it defines a few simple JavaScript APIs for doing this. The peer connection is the main one. You may have heard of it. And WebRTC itself is built on open standards. So what do I mean by that? Well, think back to our four basic tasks in a voice application. Two of them have to do with sending and receiving media. That's precisely what WebRTC standardizes. If we consider two WebRTC endpoints that want to send and receive media, the first thing they need to do is establish some connectivity. And they do that using a protocol called ICE. It stands for Interactive Connectivity Establishment. There's a lot of acronyms in WebRTC. It's kind of the alphabet soup of technologies. We've got protocols like ICE that are in turn relying on protocols called STUN and TURN, and there's even Trickle ICE and Vanilla ICE. It's really a mouthful. There's a bunch of acronyms in WebRTC. And once they establish this base connectivity, the next thing our WebRTC endpoints want to do is they want to secure it. And they do that using DTLS. We usually think of TLS as being for TCP. DTLS is like TLS for UDP. And once they've secured that connectivity, they want to start sending and receiving media. And they do that using a protocol called the Real-Time Transport Protocol. This is the protocol by which a WebRTC endpoint can take some audio or video, stuff it into a packet, and send it out, and simultaneously receive audio and video and pull it out of that packet. So, WebRTC is built on open standards, and that means we get interoperability. Anyone can go out and implement a WebRTC endpoint, whether it be in a browser or in a server or a mobile app. There's no secret sauce, and you don't need any plugins to do this either. I want to also say that WebRTC is bring your own signaling. So these two WebRTC endpoints I showed, they don't just create this connection between each other magically. We typically think of a WebRTC endpoint as representing like a device or a user on a browser. And these endpoints need to discover each other. That's why WebRTC is bring your own signaling. It doesn't say anything about how you discover other WebRTC endpoints and exchange messages with them. Instead, you bring that to the table when you're building on WebRTC. So we added WebRTC support to our voice SDKs, and we were able to upgrade the experience for Chrome and Firefox users. And if you're wondering what this looks like in our SDK, we Chrome, and if it's Chrome, we use Chrome's WebRTC APIs. If it's Firefox, we use theirs. Otherwise, we fall back to Flash. And you may be wondering, why do we need to distinguish Chrome and Firefox? It's just WebRTC. Well, we're web developers. We're probably familiar with the shiny new CSS rules that come out, and they're prefixed with Moz or WebKit. There's a similar thing going on here with these APIs. And when we added WebRTC support to our voice SDKs, we heard from our customers and our customers' customers that the experience in the browser was vastly improved over the Flash experience. We got fewer bug reports. That's not to say there aren't bugs with WebRTC. If you follow the WebRTC mailing list or you check Bugzilla, you'll see plenty of them. But overall, WebRTC gave a better experience to our users. So, we were super excited when we found out that Microsoft Edge would support ORTC. Because again, we could upgrade the experience away from Flash to first-class support for real-time communications in the browser. What's ORTC? We heard a little bit about it earlier, but let's cover it again. It's a specification that's actually compatible with WebRTC and converging with WebRTC for real-time communications in the browser. It's built on the same open standards. That's how you get interoperability. It's also bring your own signaling. But crucially, ORTC does not use the session description protocol, or SDP. Okay, our two WebRTC endpoints, each component in the stack here has its own settings and parameters that need to be exchanged in order for our two endpoints to actually communicate. And in WebRTC, the way you communicate these parameters is you take them all and you throw them into this text format called SDP. So, if you haven't seen an SDP before, take a breath. I'm going to show you one. It's a big wall of text. In fact, it's long enough that I had to wrap it into two columns. But we're going to take some time. We're going to read this. You read this top down. And the thing to know is that SDPs are broken up by these media sections, and they start with an M line. We can see the first M line here, indicating the start of a section containing settings for audio. And if you look below, we have this A equals send receive line. That actually means this section is telling us we can send and receive audio. If you look in the second column, we have an M line for video, and we also have an A line saying we're willing to send and receive video. So taken as a whole, this SDP says we are willing to send and receive audio and video. Okay? Let's just look at the audio section for now. If you look down here, there's this A equals RTP map 0 PCMU 8000 line. Now, I didn't mention this before, but when our WebRTC endpoints are sending their audio data out, they're not just, you know, putting arbitrary bytes into these RTP packets. They agree on some codec to send this data in. And if you're not sure if you know what a codec is, you probably do. MP3 is one of them. The one I've highlighted here, PCMU, is an older codec. In fact, if you pick up your telephone, this is typically what you hear. The audio is PCMU at 8,000 hertz. And the way it's specified in SDP is by using one of these RTP map lines and mapping PCMU at 8,000 to payload type 0, which you can then see up here in the M line. So if this feels verbose or complicated, you're not the only ones who feel this way. This is how the ORTC authors felt. And they asked why, when we're writing a JavaScript API, are we leaning on this text format when we have objects and methods? We have JSON. So they said, if you want to receive audio encoded as PCMU at 8,000 hertz, why not create an RTP receiver object? And why not call a receive method on it, passing it a list of codecs containing PCMU at 8,000 hertz? So that's exactly what they did. This is the first ORTC object I've showed you. There's also an RTP sender. So because ORTC doesn't use SDP, we have these lower-level APIs we're interacting with, and they map to each layer of that WebRTC stack I showed you. At the ICE layer, we're dealing with an ICE transport and an ICE gatherer. At the DTLS layer, we have a DTLS transport, and at the RTP layer, we have that RTP receiver and RTP sender. So, because these are lower-level APIs, you actually gain a little bit of flexibility and power over plain WebRTC. A testament to this is that given these ORTC APIs, you can actually implement the WebRTC APIs in plain JavaScript. You don't need any extra ingredients. You've got them. And so that's what we did. We extended our voice SDK, and we still have these checks for Chrome and Firefox, but now we check, is this Edge? And if so, pull in this ORTC adapter library. This is just like the Adapter.js polyfill that Bernard mentioned, if you caught his talk earlier. This is just painting over some cracks so that we can use a WebRTC API on top of ORTC. I'm actually really excited because I think in the future we're going to be able to simplify these if statements. I believe Edge is working on WebRTC 1.0 support, and Safari as well. I think, I see it on Twitter, I think they're working towards WebRTC support somewhere in the future. So really want to simplify these if statements, but it's what we have today. So we added ORTC support to our voice SDK. We were able to elevate the experience for Microsoft Edge users. And this was huge for us. I heard there's something like 260 million devices with Microsoft Edge running on them. In Bernard's talk, he showed those beautiful Windows 10 devices. We can now reach those and enable voice applications on them without any plugins. Let's take a step back now. We've covered a lot. We've gotten into some of the nitty-gritty of real-time communications. But I want to remind you all that Flash is no longer the only real-time communication solution for the browser. We now have superior, plug-in-free, interoperable options with first-class support in the form of WebRTC and ORTC. And in fact, they're converging. So this is a great thing. And finally, real-time communications is complex. But developing voice applications doesn't have to be complicated. These voice applications I showed you at the start of the talk, they're not dealing with SDP. They're not dealing with RTP receivers or codecs. They're focusing on what makes their application special. And they're having those four basic tasks any voice application needs to perform handled by a library. At Twilio, we ship such a library. I mentioned it throughout the talk. That's Twilio.js. But we also ship libraries for iOS and Android. So when you want to connect your voice application, not only to the browser, but to mobile, you can do that. And with that, that's my talk. Thank you all. I'm really excited about RTC. And if you are too, come talk to me after. Thanks.